I do greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been a rich blessing to be here this morning already. To thank you for that opening, Kevin, and the children's lesson, Silas. It's been just a tremendous blessing. Excuse me. Few thoughts out of the Proverbs 3 there. It talked about honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then it gives a promise, and the promise is a tremendous blessing. But the point I want to make is, so is the opposite true? If this is what we do, is it, and we get that blessing, so what happens if we don't do it? It's just a thought I had. So I was real blessed with the thoughts that already came. Wisdom, to seek it, not just something that happens, not just something that is going to come to us, but something that we need to go after ourselves. And then the opening or the children's lesson, I'm always inspired by David's courage. He wasn't leaning on his own understanding, as we read in Proverbs, was he? He had the wisdom of God that he was seeking after, and God gave him that wisdom. Could we rise for a word of prayer? Father, we do come before you this morning, and Lord, you see in the depth of my own heart that the neediness that is there, and how I tremble, Lord, as we consider your word and the things that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, we do pray that you would, by your Spirit, witness truth to us today and allow it to come forth in a way that each one of us can understand. Lord, help us to be able to go home with something to feed our soul upon this next week. Lord, by my hand it will miserably fail, but Lord, by your Spirit, by your word that is alive, it can be accomplished. By my own understanding and wisdom, it will fall at my feet, but Lord, at your wisdom and your provision, Lord, it will bring forth fruit in its time. And so that is the desire of our heart here this morning, that you would intervene here in our midst, Lord, that you would have the preeminence here, that you would be lifted up and exalted, and that you would be praised. Father, we thank you for this time. We just ask that you keep my tongue, my thoughts, and just desire that your name would be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So this morning, you're probably all wondering what this bag of potatoes is doing here. Here about a month ago or so, I found myself sorting maybe about 20 bags of potatoes that had some rotten ones in there. That happens occasionally. And as I was sorting these potatoes, the Lord started laying this message upon my heart. So I want to... This is not any of the bags of potatoes I was sorting. I don't think there's any rotten ones in here. But I brought a bag of potatoes so that as we think of... As we look at the bag of potatoes from this time forward, that you might remember something of this message. Not because of I'm preaching it, but because of God. So I was sorting these potatoes, and I'll just share several things that happened. They're a mess. They stink. And the potato that is rotten is not just a mess of itself, but it creates a mess over the whole bag of potatoes. And so, them were some of the things that was happening as I was sorting these potatoes. It was good for me, okay, as I sorted these potatoes. And so today, the title of the few thoughts I have is the allegory of the bag of potatoes. Or the lessons that we can take out of this bag of potatoes. And I don't mean it can sound like it's a little funny, but I do trust the Lord has a lesson here for us this morning to consider. So I'd like to look at 3 points. And the first point is, the last 2 points are looking at this bag of potatoes as a church. But the first point I want to draw out is, if you have never been born again, if you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, we want to look at this bag of potatoes and draw a lesson from it in that way. So that the lesson as far as the we want to look at as a church is not the building itself, but the people, the church, the people, not the building, not the church building, but the people that gather here as a church. That is the lesson that we want to look at. So the first point is, are you born again? You know, when a baby is born, it is totally innocent, right? It can't do good and it can't do bad. It is innocent. It can't choose right from wrong. It is just innocent. But as time continues on, that changes. That changes. It changes that to where the little baby can now choose to stiffen up and kind of, I don't know the word to use, but it stiffens up and it wants its own way. It wants its own way. The longer it goes, the more it wants its way. And as we consider that as a potato, that it is, as we consider that in the potato this morning, it's like a little rotten spot, a little soft spot on the potato, right? It's like a little soft spot that is starting to rot on this potato. If you've never been born again, if you've been born again and if you're not born again, it has happened to all of us that are here this morning. There's a decay that starts happening in mankind. All of us. We can't get away from it. Now, I think I could probably ask most of you children, once this potato starts to rot, can it ever get better again? Can it ever reverse its cycle to where it becomes a good potato again? We know that is impossible. It continues to rot. It continues to deprave. It continues to go downhill, you could say. A rotten potato will never again be a good potato. It is impossible. And we need a miracle to take place. You know, God says that He takes out that old stony heart of us and He gives us a heart of flesh. He gives us a heart of flesh, a new heart. He puts in us, not literally. We still have that same heart, but there's a complete new set of desires and things that are in us. We're no longer the same person. And so, using that in our allegory, that once you have sinned, there's no more going back and just fixing the problem. You need a miracle to take place. You can't just fix your problem. You can't just put a Band-Aid on the potato and think that rottenness isn't going to continue to go on through. And neither can you and I with our lives. If you've not been born again, you can't just put a Band-Aid on it and think that it'll be fine. Because it won't. It can't just get better. So in Romans, I'm going to read in Romans 3 here. This was not part of the original lesson that the Lord was teaching me there that day, but I do feel like I need to put this in here as I continue to seek Him for direction. So in Romans 3, verse 10 to 23, it tells us, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So that includes all of us here today. There is not a one of us righteous on our own. It is impossible. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, which means an open grave. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, and there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we'll quit reading there this morning. So we start out by seeing that there is none righteous. There is none of us righteous. When a baby is born, a baby is not necessarily righteous. It is innocent. It is neither good nor bad. I mean, the baby can't help itself. There's none that is righteous. We're all born this way. There's none that can do good. And in verse 23, it tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a mark in life that we're all trying to hit, or all wanting to hit, and we've all fallen short of that mark. There's none of us that can hit that mark on our own. None of us. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And we all know that there's no sin going to be in God's presence. In other words, we all have rotten potatoes in our bag. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The only way that there's no rotten potatoes in your bag is if you have allowed God to take that old stony heart out of you and give you a new heart of flesh. And rotten potatoes, if you've ever sorted potatoes, it's a stinky, terrible mess. And what I mean by saying that is, your sin you cannot hide. Your sin you cannot hide. It is a filthy, stinky mess as we think of God. It is something that you are not going to be able to put under the rug. You're not going to be able to hide anywhere. It is a filthy, stinky mess. And God wants to change that in all of our hearts and lives today. And most of us know how foolish it looks when there's someone who is guilty and he's trying to hide it. We know how foolish it looks, and yet, I think I can probably say we're all probably guilty of that very thing at one point or another in our life. At one point or another, we've probably all tried to hide something. And we can't hide it. It's a filthy, stinky mess. That's what sin is. It's a mess. The other thing that happens is when a potato gets soft and it's rotting away, it gets onto this paper bag and it stains that paper bag, and you can wash it all you want to, and that blotch, you will never get away. It is there. It's there, and it will continue to be there. And I liken that as to, we have to get a new bag. Put the potatoes in a new bag. You have to get out that rotten stuff. You put it in a new bag. And that's what God does. He takes that old stony heart out, and He wants to give us a heart of flesh. We cannot clean ourselves good enough for God. God needs to do the cleaning. God needs to give that new heart to each one of us. It stained, it tore. In order to get that rotten stuff out, you have to rip the bag open to get it out, and you can't put the bag back together. It just becomes a mess. So God wants to give us a new heart. That old heart has to go out, and the new heart God has to replace it with. And it's not something that I can do for myself. You can't do it for yourself. I can't give you a new heart. God has to do this. It is something that God has to do. And as I thought of this, we as people have a hard time seeing how terrible that sin really is in God's sight. We have a hard time seeing how terrible and how far that it separates us from God. It is impossible for us to reach God in our fallen state. We just can't. We need to come to Him and allow Him to change us in order to have that connection with Him. We cannot fix ourselves. It is a little bit like a sinking ship in the middle of the ocean. You know, if you're in the middle of the ocean, I don't know how many miles that would be from anywhere, and this ship has got a hole in it, and it is going down. There's only one hope that you have, and that is that God creates a miracle for you to be saved. And it is possible. He can do that. And that is a little bit how our life is. We are sinking to a bottomless pit unless God works that miracle of redemption in your life. It is impossible for you to get a caulking gun and caulk that hole shut, because it's not going to happen. And that is how it is with our life. It is impossible for us to take a rotten potato and once again make it good. It will continue to decay and decay and decay. There's only one thing a rotten potato can do, and that is continue to rot. It is good for nothing. And so it's hard for us to see at times how far that we have been separated from God. And so we need to repent from our terrible wickedness. And we need to allow God to come and change us. God is waiting for us. So what does it mean to be born again? I don't have a lot. I've not taken too much time on this point, probably not as much as I should. But born again is surrendering our will for the will of God, laying down my desires for God's desires, repenting of our sin, confessing our sin. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ can once again cleanse us. And I'm sure that all of you young children, as we grow up, and maybe today you're sitting here and you would like to be born again and you're not born again. You all know how it is if you've confessed sins to your parents or someone as you were growing up. The peace that it brings. But there's another peace that comes when we confess our sins before God and we surrender it all before Him and allow Him to be Lord of our life. There's a peace that passes all understanding. If you've never allowed that to happen in your life, you've never experienced anything like it. And there's nothing like it that you'll ever experience again, other than continue to surrender your life. So that is what it means to be born again. Confessing, not just part of the things that happen in here, but everything. And you say, well, how terrible is that? I know how terrible it is. I was a wicked young man, full of sin, full of self, and I won't go into all of that. Most of you that are sitting here that are not born again have probably not experienced the things that we have, because you were brought up in a home that taught you better than my parents or our parents were able to teach us. And so you have a head start in many ways. But sin is a terrible wickedness before God. Like a rotten potato that you can never fix. Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The things that you have been sowing in your life, the things that have been going on in your heart, is that what kind of a harvest that you want at the end of your life? We can reverse that today. We can give our lives to the Lord. But what you have sowed up until this point, at the end of your life, is that the kind of harvest that you want? And it goes for us as Christians too. We also continue to sow. We must believe this. The old man must be buried. A new man must raise. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things become new. Is this you today? So that's the first point that we wanted to look at is, are you born again? Or are you like a rotten potato in this bag that cannot be fixed? It's a terrible, stinky, ugly mess. The only way that it can possibly be fixed is allowing God to change the heart. And the only way that can happen is if you surrender to His will. So the second point we want to look at, like I said, we want to look at it as a church, is a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In the Bible here, we read that, or we see that leaven is sin. It's always indicated as it being sin. And leaven is like yeast. When you have yeast and you're mixing bread, it has a way of going through every fabric of that dough, and it starts rising, right? And that is what sin is, leaven is teaching us, or what the Bible is teaching us that leaven is here. So in other words, what it is telling us, a little sin, a little rottenness in this bag of potatoes will rotten the whole bag. It will rotten the whole bag. Now, how much do I take that to heart for my own life? How much do I love you that I take care of the sin that is in my life so I don't, I don't know the word to use, that I don't taint your life, that I don't hinder your walk with the Lord? And I know that today, my heart is not that we get our binoculars out and look at one another, but rather take this and look at it from my own life. I know that there's scriptures that tell us that we need to look at our brother, but today we want to look at it in our own life. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A sin that is not dealt with in the church will affect the whole church. And again, one reason that we don't like to confess is we realize in our minds, we'd like to think, the one reason that we don't confess many times is we rationalize it in our mind and we make it not so bad as it really is. And sin is always a stinky, filthy thing. It is like a potato. If I'd have a rotten potato here this morning, probably from the back of the room, you would be able to smell it. It is a mess. And that is how sin works. It's a stinky, filthy thing. And we don't see it many times for how it is. We are afraid of what others think, and so therefore we tried to hide it. Right when sin happens, most of the time we feel terrible. But as sin goes on, we lose the terribleness of sin. It starts looking not quite so bad in our eyes. But all the while, I can be hindering my brother from the fullness of God. We can be hindering the church. We can be keeping our wives or our husbands or our sons or our daughters or our friends or our grandparents or grandchildren, or the list can go on. Our sin will be affecting their life in a negative way. You know, in a bag of potatoes, normally you find one or two bad potatoes kind of in the same group, kind of in the same spot. And it just grows from there. And that's how it is in our life. There's a little area in our life and it just continues to grow from that point. You know, unless we do something fast with a rotten potato in a bag, we'll lose the whole bag. And if there's a rotten potato, I'm thinking of it in a church. I'm not calling anyone a rotten potato, but if there's a sin in a church and we're close to our friends, what happens as we're all together in this, as we're all together in this bag, and there's a potato here that is rotting, it's leaking, it's smooshy. What happens? What happens in this bag of potatoes? It just drips down through there. And it causes a mess. And the other lesson that I learned while I was doing this, I was sorting for a little while, and there's others that came into the room, and they were like, "Ooh, that stinks." And I was like, "Yeah, it still does stink." After being there for a while, I didn't smell it very well. It wasn't very strong to me anymore. We kind of get used to it. And that is how it is with sin. We can kind of get used to the sin. We don't see the terribleness, the effects of it. We don't see the ugliness of this sin. So, remember that in our lives. Many times, if I have sinned, first there's that impulsive thing that I failed. And if we don't do something about it, time goes on and the smell of the sin, the smell of the potato, will slowly start vanishing away. Until somebody comes and arouses that thing back into your mind, saying, "Whew, it stinks." We can go on for I don't know how long without even thinking of it again. So may God help us. In 1 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read from verse 6 to the end. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 6. "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out," in other words, get out, therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle, not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. For what I have to do to judge them also that are without, do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And I realize here that it is talking about us looking at one another, that we're not, or that we're making sure that we're not keeping communion with people that are of what we just read. But again, my heart today is that we take the look at our own lives and not so much at our brother today. Look at our own lives. The word malice is evil, wickedness, and depravity. And the word depravity is like that bad spot on the potato. It just gets worse and worse and worse. There's no regaining a good potato out of a rotten one. There's no fixing that bad spot of the potato. An unconfessed sin. Those you are the closest to, the effects of your sin, my sin, will have a negative effect in their lives. Before we know it, they will be sitting on our mess. Do we see sin as wickedness? Do we see sin as separating us from God? Do we see the filthy, ugly, horrible spots of a messy, rotten potato? Our sin looks even more horrible than this in God's eyes. There's nothing that we can compare our sin to and how it looks to God. But I do believe it would be good for anyone to sort a bag of rotten potatoes once and think of how horrible our sin would look before God. But it's not a pleasant thing. A splotch of a rotten potato on this bag will never be washed away, like we've said. Neither can we just hide our sin. It needs to be taken care of. Sin is blinding. We can see it in others, but not very good in me. It is one of the great needs of a brotherhood. We need each other because we all have blind spots. God is returning for this bride, for his bride, the church, not just for individuals. And by the way, we can go to church all our lives and never really be part of a brotherhood. We can go to church all of our lives and yet never really be part of a brotherhood. Let's look at verse 11. Don't eat with here is indicating not to commune with. Is my life building up the brotherhood, or sin, my sin, like a rotten potato destroying the other potatoes? The word fornicator in verse 11 means a prostitute, a whoremonger, one who is sexually immoral. You know, this is a lot more than it appears at the first glance. Are you and I without spot and wrinkle in this area? How is your thought life? How are you doing with your eyes? If I could put a potato, get one of these potatoes and put it up here, and it was to indicate what is happening in my life and what is happening in your life, how would that potato look? Would it still be this beautiful potato? Or would it have some ugly blotches on it? How are you doing in this part of your life? Are we keeping our eyes, our thoughts pure for God? The next word we have is covetous. And this struck really close to home. It's a greedy person. And it says eager for gain. Eager for gain. It's not just talking about running after money, but it's eager for gain. Now, there's no one sitting in here that likes to lose. There's not one of us in here that likes to lose. So where's this balance? Covetous. Eager for gain. It strikes real close to the heart. Don't eat with such a fellow, it tells us. And again, if I could get a potato out and set it on the top here, and this potato could tell me what my heart looks like in this area, what it looks like in your heart, what would the potato look like? Would it be this nice, beautiful potato? Or would it have some bad spots on it, some blotches on it? What would your heart look like? What would my heart look like? Eager to gain is the opposite of contentment. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." But godliness with contentment is great gain. The next word we have is idolater, an image worshiper. And I don't believe that there's any of us here that falls down before an image to worship an image. I don't believe there's any of us here that does that or prays to it. But I believe it's closer home than we think. What am I doing when there's a prayer meeting going on at church? Now, I know that none of us will hit all the prayer meetings. I know that. But consider the last 20 prayer meetings. What were you doing? Making money? Sleeping? Working? Hunting? Shopping? What is our God? What are we falling down to worship? Are we just lazy? Prayer is a work. It's not just going to happen. Eternity will tell us quite the story. Again, if I was to get a potato out of this bag and set it on here, and it would indicate your heart and my heart, what would that look like? What would it look like? What would the story of the potato be? What are you teaching your children that is most important in your life? I didn't say, what are you telling them? But I said, what are you teaching them? Our actions tell far more what is important in our life than our words. The next word we have is railer. Railer. Psalms 101, verse 5, it says, a railer is a verbal abuser, a slanderer, abusive. 101, verse 5 of Psalms, it says, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. And him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Do we believe this is being true? You know, we can be dead right in the thing that I say, but what is the attitude of my heart? I think a lot of times is what happens with a railer. You can be dead right, but yet what is going on in the heart as I speak these words? Matthew 25:10, it says, "And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And the words and our actions, the things that we do, what we do to one another, we do it unto him. That's sobering. What we do to one another, we do it as unto him. It's very sobering. Are our words building up or are they destructive? Again, if I was to get a potato out of this bag and it would show us the condition of my heart and of your heart, what would that potato look like in this area of our life? Would it be this beautiful potato or would it be a potato with splotches all over it? What are we teaching our children to be okay? As we consider in the last year, all the things I said about brothers and sisters in the church, what were they? Words of blessing? Words of building up? Words of tearing down? Remember what Jesus said, "What you have done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me." That's very serious. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10, it tells us, "Nor thieves, nor covetous," and it has all the same words as the words that we're reading here, and some of them are not said the same word. One is the revilers, but it has all the same words here, "Nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners." There's none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And this was wrote to a church. This was not wrote to the heathen out in wherever. This was wrote to the church. And it's good for us to look at today. A drunkard. A drunk. The Webster's tells us, one given to ebriety or an excessive use of strong drink. And I'm very thankful that we don't have that amongst us. I've been a part of my growing up. That was a part of it. We see the horribleness, the effects of it, the terrible destruction it has caused. But why is that in with the others that we're reading? Do we see that the other sins that we've talked about can have that same destruction to our brothers as drunkenness does to those that we love as well? It's like a rotten potato in a bag. It will go through that bag. If it's not taken care of, it will go through that bag and that whole bag of potatoes will rot. We may not hide sin. So how are we doing? An extortioner means swindling or robber. How are we doing in this area? I don't think there's anyone that would just outright rob or outright swindle. But are we robbing God of his time? Am I swindling in order to get my way? I believe it's more than just money that it talks about here. I think it comes in a very sly way. So as we look at verse 11, how are we doing? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. One rotten potato left in this bag will rotten the whole bag of potatoes. It just happens. A sin not dealt with will ruin a congregation. Now, as I'm sharing here, I'm not here thinking of any one of you particularly. This is the lesson that came to me as I was sorting potatoes. And when I was sorting potatoes, I was not thinking of one individual in here in particularly. I was seeing my own need. I was very humble. The importance that I have to keeping my life right with God. So this morning, I'm not here preaching something that God has not been trying to do in my own heart. I want to make that clear. This is the message I got when I was sorting them filthy, nasty, smelly potatoes. In verse 11, it tells us, at the end it says, "But with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, let us serve the Lord in that way." With unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Truth cannot hide sin. You cannot hide sin and be truthful. It's impossible. And that brings us to the third point. I'm going to ask it as a question. What good are these potatoes if they just stay in the bag? What value do these potatoes have if they just stay in the bag? That's our third point we'd like to look at. What good in God's economy are we if all that we do is gather on church on Sunday morning to worship God? You know, these potatoes kind of look nice. But I wouldn't buy them potatoes just because they look nice. I'd have something else in mind if I'd buy these potatoes. I wouldn't get these potatoes to put on a shelf somewhere because they look nice. I would buy them because there's something else that I'm after. And that's how it can be with us. It can all look so good and so nice and so wonderful. But yet, what are we doing for the sake of the kingdom of God? What are we doing to further His kingdom? If I'm hungry, and yet would never open that bag of potatoes, then potatoes would be of no value. It is not God's intent that we just, if we think of being a potato farmer, it's not God's intent that we just plant potatoes, gather them up, put them in bags, and store them away. There's something else God wants to do with them. And that's how it is with us as Christians. He didn't save you so you could fill a church bench here this morning. That's not the intent that you were saved. There's a work that He has for you. There's something that God wants from our lives beyond this point. What is it? Is it so that our children can marry one another and have children and fill up these benches? Is that the intent of the potatoes in the bag? Is that the reason that we would raise potatoes, is just to have more potatoes? So that they can raise nice families until He returns. Is that our vision? What is your vision as a family, for your family? Without a vision, people perish. What is your vision? The American dream? Vacations? Hard work? Maybe it's just simply to maintain. Is maintain going to get it? I don't think so. Now this next part might sound a little funny, but it's not intended to be funny. As I was sorting these potatoes, I also got a glimpse of many of these little church houses in our communities. You see one here and you see one there. If you drive around this morning, you might find 8-12 cars parked in front of these old buildings and a few old grandmas and grandpas going in on a Sunday morning. What What happened? If these buildings could talk, what kind of story would they have to say? Where are the young people, and why is this? And I'm thankful for each one of you young people here and your desire to follow the Lord. But if our goal isn't beyond what is here, we will end up where they ended up. So we have to have a vision. What went wrong? Suppose you could go into one of them church houses this morning and you could walk up to that pulpit and you could ask that pulpit to tell us the history of the church in one of these little churches. What kind of story do you think would be told? And 100 years from now, if the world is still standing, and if this pulpit could talk, and someone would come up to this pulpit and ask the story of what went on here since its beginning, what will the story be? What will the story be? And as I thought of this, I thought of another bag of potatoes. You know, if there's no rotten potatoes in here, and you take this thing and you put it somewhere in a corner where it's cool and dry, this thing starts shriveling up. The skins of the potatoes start shriveling up, and you'll see little sprouts coming out. And that is kind of the picture I got when I seen these little country churches with a few old people walking in with their canes on a Sunday morning. Now, what good did that bag of potato do in its life? And I'm not pointing fingers at these dear old people that are gathering around the community on a Sunday morning. My goal is to get us to think, what will be here in 100 years from now? What is going to be here? Is there going to have to be a gymnasium over here and keep the young people? I trust not. What is going to keep us from becoming just another history lesson? That old shriveled up potatoes with a few little sprouts. What happened? You know, in all truth, as long as these potatoes are in this bag, and we never open the bag, they are worth absolutely not a penny to anyone. If I was to give you this bag of potatoes and you would never do anything with them, they would be worth nothing at all. And I know that we're worth something to God. I know that. But what are we doing to advance His kingdom? What are we doing to move His kingdom forward? What will happen if everyone here would be doing what I'm doing, or if everybody here would be doing what you are doing, in 3 or 4 generations, what would it look like here? I think is a good question to ask ourselves. If everyone was doing what I am doing, or everyone is doing what, if everybody would be doing what you are doing, in 3 or 4 generations, what will it look like here? You know, we have to have a vision beyond today and tomorrow. What will it look like? You know, I challenged those that might not have come to the prayer meeting as faithfully as some others, but if all we do is come together and pray, is that the answer? I want to challenge myself in this area as well. If all we do is pray. And I say this because I was in a prayer meeting one time where we were, there's a few of you might have been there. There was no way to turn. There was no turning to the left, no turning to the right. We were in need of a miracle from God. At the end of that prayer meeting, there's a brother that stood up and said, unless we do something for ourselves, God is going to do nothing for us. Unless we do nothing for ourselves, God is going to do nothing for us. And I've seen the biggest miracle that I've ever seen leaving that prayer meeting. I don't believe that more prayer would have helped the thing. Now, we prayed as we went on, but we were moving forward. We were moving on. There was something that had to be done. There's something for us to do. God opened the gate. God opened the way. I seen a miracle that was absolutely no greater in my mind than when the children walked up to the Red Sea and they put their foot in it and the waters parted. I seen that miracle take place that day. Now, there was no water. And I'm not saying we need to see miracles, okay? But there was someone there that had enough of faith to tell us, unless we do something for ourselves, God is going to do nothing for us. And that is the point. There's something that God wants from us. We can kneel together here and we can pray about the poor and the lost and the dying world around us. And we can pray. And we can pray. And we can pray. And we can pray. I'm not saying it won't change anything. But what happens if we never go? What happens if we never get out of the bag? What happens if we never go? What happens if we never go out of the bag? I'm not just talking about going to another country. I'm talking about going across the road from us. And I'm not minimizing prayer at all. It is the greatest thing that we have. It is the connection that we have with God. And I'm not minimizing prayer in the least. But I believe it's also time to get our boots on and to go warring after the souls of man. Many times I believe that as we're praying, we already know what the answer is. We already know what the answer is many times. And that is my point. Now we can pray and ask how we should go. We know we need to go. But how should we go? What should we do? Where should we go? What doors are open? What doors are not open? But to just continue to pray for God to open the doors and not to go see if the doors are open. Recently when we went on the hiking trip, this just comes to me. It was shared with us of Brother Andrew saying that assume that every door is open. I think it was. No, every door, just about all doors are open if you're not worried about coming back. Just about every door of our life is open if you and I are not worried about coming back. It's pretty sobering as we consider that. We want the angel to put on our shoes before we go. We want to know all the ins and the outs. And God says to have faith. God has tremendous power and it's all there waiting for us. And by faith, our faith needs to grab a hold of this, get a hold of God, and it can move. It can move mountains, the Lord tells us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thinking of that, going back to that bag of potatoes that was wrinkly, And sitting in a bag there, I also thought of this verse here. Actually, I'll read several verses in John 12, verse 20 to 26. I'll just read 24 to 26 for the sake of time. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." As we think of planting potatoes, I'm not just talking about multiplying, our families multiplying. We're talking about the kingdom of God advancing. That's what we're talking about, advancing the kingdom of God. That is why God left us here, is to work in His vineyard, to work in His kingdom. It is much more than just multiplying. And as important as families are, I'm not minimizing family, but I'm talking of beyond this. The family is extremely important to God. I'm not minimizing it one bit. Excuse me. You know, and if we go, it tells us here, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And I'm not sure how you all plant potatoes, but when we plant potatoes, we don't just take the whole potato and stick it in the ground. A lot of times we cut it up in sections, and we plant these potatoes. And when you think of a corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying, you don't just kind of toss it there. You cover it up. So it's not something that is going to feel good to the natural man, is falling into the ground and dying. Jesus was talking about himself, I know. But I think you and I, as he goes on, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." There's, unless we die spiritually, not spiritually, but unless we die, our desires, spiritually speaking, we will also perish. What are you and I doing for the souls of men? Do we know the worth of a soul? Are we so taken up with self, we just see people and not the souls of men? Again, if the whole church would do what I am doing, what would it look like in 3 or 4 generations? Will it just be a bag of potatoes? Will it be a rotten bag of potatoes? Will it be a wrinkly bag of potatoes? Or will the bag of potatoes have been opened and planted? And our young men are out there with their wives and children with shovels in hand, gathering in a great harvest for the Lord. And planting again so that their children can gather a great harvest for the Lord. I'm not going to answer that question for you. We all need to answer that for ourselves. When is the last time that you've taken time off of work on purpose to go share the gospel with someone? You know, our children are watching. They do know what is important to us. You might say, "I don't have very many gifts." And to me, it's like a potato crawling into this bag and saying, "Poor me, I'm just a potato. That's all I ever will be." There's something that God has for each soul that is sitting here this morning. You might not have very many gifts, but God has given you a gift. I can't tell you exactly what that gift is, but please use it for His glory. In closing, Let's look at the 3 points again. Are you born again? Have you surrendered your heart and life to the Lord? Or is your heart like that potato that is rotting away, decaying, perishing, without hope? Second was, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Am I keeping my heart and soul and life clean for the sake of Jesus Christ, but also for the sake of you all? Because a little leaven will destroy the whole lump. Thirdly, what good are potatoes if they just stay in the bag? What good are we here if all we're doing is gathering here Sunday morning for worship service? I mean, that's a good thing, very positive thing. But God has more than that for us. There's something else for us to do. So that is the lesson that I learned from a bag of potatoes. And I hope, as you look at another bag of potatoes, as you buy potatoes in the store, you think of this. How am I doing? If these potatoes could tell the story of my life, if these potatoes could show me my heart, what would it look like? A rotten, filthy, ugly potato with some bad spots on it, wrinkled and shriveled up, or ready to die and to multiply. What is this story? I trust that you is edified this morning. I was challenged. There's some real needs in my life. Some of the things that I spoke about today, it's not like I have these all put together. So God bless you.